Saddle up your horses. Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walter Show, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you. I hope you guys get a chance to listen to Sunday Morning with Robin Walter, which some of you are getting. You can certainly all get them via the podcast route with whatever, by whatever means you listen to podcasts, whether it's iHeart and Amazon, Google something. I don't handle that stuff, but I know that we're on everything. And you can type in a couple ways to get it, Sunday Morning with Robin Walter, or if you are on Rumble, if that's your podcast venue of choice, then you can put in the Robin Walter Show, and it will actually pull up two things. It'll pull up programs where you will see my mugshot. That's the Robin Walter Show, the kind of hard-hitting, a little more secular side. And then there is the preaching side, which has a picture of the Bible, a gavel, and I don't know what else. Maybe I think a pair of glasses. I need them all. But in any case, that's how you can get that program, as well as this, if you're traveling or something, just so that you know that. Okay, I have, you know how Trump has said, we're going to win so much, you're going to get sick of winning. Well, last week, I think I had just nothing but good news. And going and trying to go through the executive orders, and I had that the program, I think, was entitled, Are We Having Fun Yet? In some respects, this is almost a sequel, because there has been so much that has happened just since that last program. I mean, it was an hour after I taped that I think Trump pardoned the pro-life protesters, and it just keeps going. So I'm going to cover some of that today, but let me know when you're tired of the good news, and we'll knock it off, and we'll go back to the other stuff. Actually, I think I will get to some other things, and if we don't, then it'll be next week. But I want to start on the lighter side here. I haven't quoted from the Babylon Bee in about a month and a half. It's time that I do that. And three things. One of their headlines, dealing with the RFK hearings, because all these people, all these senators that are blasting them, oh, they agree with RFK as to abortion, because RFK is pro-abortion. I don't think he's against tranny surgery. He's got all the leftist social positions with the exception of the thing as it deals with health and vaccines, which is why Donald Trump said, okay, Robert, this is going to be your area, but you don't get to touch anything else, because anything else you would touch would be something that I don't agree with. But just by virtue of him accepting something by Trump, it doesn't matter that he agrees with all the leftist Democrats and all these other issues. He's tarnished, he's tainted, he's soiled, he's defiled by having entered into any kind of compact or agreement with Trump. And I will tell you right now why a lot of these senators hate him. This is a fact. Take a look at how much Pfizer and Moderna and Eli Lilly, and you go right down the line of big pharma, how much they have dumped into the coffers of the campaign activities of these Democrat senators. Now, keep in mind, they're Republicans that take money from them too. But right now, the Democrats have we got to do our part. We are beholden to these pharmaceuticals that supply a lot of money to our campaign. And by the way, he also shook hands and took a job with Donald Trump. So those are two reasons. Leading up to the lead Babylon Bee article from yesterday, senators pause RFK hearing. to announce that the next round of questions will be brought to you by Pfizer. Satire, I love it. You can speak volumes in one statement. And then number two, I don't get Christianity Today. I haven't gotten it for a long time because it doesn't talk about Christianity, and it's not for today. But they had a piece in here in Babylon Bee. It said, I love this, Satan renews subscription to Christianity Today. And then last, but not least, because it dovetails into my next piece here, well, I've got to preface it with this. All right, I saw a little bit of Kristi Noem's speech yesterday talk about the as the Department of Homeland Security chief. And she's always been an attractive woman. I'm not going to take that away from her, but it seems like she took it up a notch. It just seemed like there was more done to her to enhance that, which I don't know, maybe it's a, who am I to say? Maybe it's $50,000 well spent. I'm not sure. But to be yet more attractive, and it was pretty obvious. Obvious enough that the Babylon Bee picked up on it. The satire boys from San Diego. And they came out with this piece that says, single men begin dressing as illegal immigrants, hoping Kristi Noem will detain them. you guys, I don't know what kind of award you should get, but you, whatever it is. So let's go on to Kristi, because she's done some good things. And speaking of her, so as the representative of the Trump administration, she has revoked the deportation protections for 600,000 Venezuelans. Now, mind you, this is just for Venezuelans. And we're talking 600,000. I mean, she said just the other day here that Trump, the administration, was going to revoke these. But it all came about as a notice. I mean, she sent out, signed a notice that would reverse the move by Alejandro Mayorkas in the last days of the Biden administration to extend temporary protective status. So he said, hey, I'll just sign this in the last couple seconds here because I know I'm going to get shot in the rear end on the way out. I'm going to extend their protective status for another 18 months. But she reversed it immediately. Immediately. And, I mean, this is one of a gazillion things that are going on in the I mean, there was another Babylon piece, Babylon Bee piece, which I didn't share last week, but it said journalists are begging for a break, trying to follow and keep up with Trump's executive orders. See, the journalists have never had to do anything other than to shield us from the truth about Joe Biden. Say, keep it moving. Come on, move on. Nothing to see here. They haven't had to do much other than just cover his sorry derriere. But now they're being run ragged. They cannot keep up with Trump. No one can keep up with this guy. But anyway, she said, and I quote, before he left town, Mayorkas signed an order that said for 18 months, they were going to extend this protection to people that are on temporary protective status, which meant that they were going to be able to stay here and violate our laws for yet another 18 months. Noem said, we stopped that. My goodness sakes. And, you know, the usual suspects of people who are up in arms, and along with the Democrats, you got Pope Francis, known to some as Pope Francis, but I'll respect those who deserve respect. And this is a guy who says, oh, they should be able to come into our country while he's built this high stinking security fence around the Vatican to protect his sorry butt. Come on, Francie, get saved, buddy, and maybe your mind will move back from its reprobate status. Got no use for the guy. If I'm offending Catholics, too bad, so sad, too bad. If you're following him, you aren't following Jesus. If you're following him, you aren't following God. It's pretty simple. Well, on the heels, or concurrent with, Kristi Noem's delivery of Trump's executive order, Trump signs four additional executive orders involving just the military. Just the military. This guy is unbelievable. So the new orders are going to prevent transgender people from openly serving in the military. It's going to accelerate the process of developing a missile defense shield to protect the U.S. It's going to give service members that voluntarily left or forced out over the COVID-19 thing. It's going to address their issues and protection. And then, of course, the executive order that would abolish diversity, equity, and inclusion within the Department of Defense. And that was ordered the same day. Gee, what a coinkydink that Pete Hegseth was confirmed. His first full day in office. Then Trump gives him his marcher's order. Get this DEI crapola out of the military, and he is wasting no time. I said last week there's a new sheriff in town. There is, but this new sheriff has hired a bunch of brand new deputies. And this is a beautiful sight to behold. Okay, so where do we, let me break these four down. These are, every one of them is huge. Every one of them, we'd be thrilled if that was the only thing that he did as it related to the military. But he's just not stopping. He knows he's got only 4 years. And I'm not going to get into that thing about the possibility of extension to a third term. I'm not sure. I don't even want to. They're toying with that, but it's way too early. No, let him do his job. Let him do his job as though he only has this term and get on it. But Trump said, number one here, expressing a false gender identity divergent from an individual sex cannot satisfy the rigorous standards necessary for military service. So he had revoked the executive order from Joey No Brains, Corn Pop, Biden that he did in 2021 that allowed trannies to openly serve in the military. So he set Hegseth on the path to things that involve military preparedness. For those of you who are old enough to remember MASH or at least see it in syndication thereafter, do you think that you could have a military full of clingers, guys walking around in female sex garb, and that lends itself to military preparedness? You see, we laughed at that when MASH was on because it was so ridiculous, so incredibly preposterous. No one could ever imagine that that would be possible. Until Joey, no morals, no brains, no cojones, Biden comes to office. Actually, with Barack Hussein whispering with great frequency in his ear. And it wasn't sweet nothings. He's whispering into Joey's ear. So this new order directs the Defense Department to begin forging sketches, and I'm quoting here, from an article by Philippe Timotea, I believe, if I pronounced it right. If I haven't, then Felipe. It is not Felipe. It's just Philippe. I apologize, but I'm giving you the best kudo here I can. The order directs the Defense Department to begin forging sketches for also an Iron Dome for America, the missile defense system that protect Americans from potential ballistic, hypersonic, and cruise missiles. And I want to add that this is what Ronald Reagan proposed. It never got there. He wanted to do it, but it was his proposing this that resulted in the name being coined for Ronald Reagan, that being Ronald Reagan, R-A-Y-G-U-N. And so that was number two. Then the third aspect of this, that the Trump campaign had vowed that they were going to ensure service members who were dismissed or left for refusing the COVID-19 vaccine would be reinstated. Well, he did that. But he put some huge icing on the cake. The order will allow them to retain their former rank, number one. Number two, receive full back pay, benefits, bonus payments, or whatever compensation to which they would otherwise have been entitled. He went on to say, Trump, that the vaccine mandate was unfair, overbroad, and completely unnecessary burden on our service members. Further, still quoting, the military unjustly discharged those who refused the vaccine, regardless of the years of service given to our nation, after failing to grant many of them an exemption that they should have received. Moving on to the DEI. Oh, gosh. I'm pinching myself so many times here. I got some blood blisters. Happy blood blisters. The executive order banning DEI programs bars the Pentagon, the armed forces, and all related educational institutions. So whoever the armed forces would be farming out by contract training and educational programs that they don't themselves run, but been farming it out to these left-wing hack jobs that are all over the place, have no morals. But the DEI program, the executive order bars and bans the DEI program, the Pentagon Armed Forces and related educational institutions from promoting or advancing, quote, un-American, divisive, discriminatory, radical, extremist, and irrational theories, including, as a suggestion, that their claim that the U.S.'s founding documents were racist, sexist, or pushed gender ideology. Oh, so Hegseth takes off with an immediate internal review, all the documents that have been executed and implemented in the pursuit of the DEI initiatives, all instances of race and sex discrimination and activities designed to promote a race and sex-based preference system. Go at it, you guys. Have at it. But Trump's not done. No. This one is pretty near and dear to my heart, having lived the better portion of my life in California, because California still subsidizes at California taxpayer expense sex change operations for trannies, and then putting them into opposite sex prisons, contending that they are the same sex when actually they're the opposite sex, of course. Now, this will not apply necessarily automatically to state prisons, because Trump, while trying to extend his authority in that regard, I'm not so sure he has that authority to reach state prisons. If California wants to stay irrevocably screwed up in the race to hell to try to beat all other states and countries and fighting for pole position to the abyss, I guess that's up to them. Trump can only do so much. But at least and absolutely with respect to all federal prisons, he's restored single-sex prisons. Male guys who've identified as women got to go back to male facilities. And guess what, you guys? When you come back in faking this tranny crap in a men's facility, look out. Hey, I have preached in prisons, and I can tell you, trannies and those men who have sexually abused minors, they could never get life insurance. Well, without some alleged anti-discrimination statute, because they don't survive long. You see, in the prisons, they have their own justice system. They have a measure of morality where they have priorities and they have hierarchies of what is worse or who's better. I will tell you, some guy who shot and killed two other people in a fight out and a shootout over drug profits is regarded as significantly more moral than somebody who dresses as the opposite sex or, more particularly, abuses, rapes, molests minor children. Yikes. How these guys find out what other guys are in for, I have no idea, and I don't really need to know. I guess it's on a need-to-know basis, and I don't need to know. But we have 1,500 male federal prisoners who claim they're chicks. Yep, they're going back to the real big house. And quoting here from Breitbart, it says, President Trump's executive order titled Defending Women from Gender Ideology Extremism and Restoring Biological Truth to the Federal Government. That's the name of the executive order. Also ends all tranny-related medical procedures for the inmates. So you got these women who claim that they're women, and they're not, but they're raping women, some getting pregnant in women's prisons. So I have to ask this question. Imagine women getting other women pregnant. How does that work? It doesn't. And this story keeps getting better because there is an organization called the Women's Liberation Front, right? Combination sort of the Women's Liberation Movement or the Palestine Liberation Front. They've kind of conflated those terms from two left-wing organizations to come up with the Women's Liberation Front. It is a feminist organization. What is their goal? They have advocated for single-sex prisons and to raise awareness about incarcerated women becoming victims of male violence. Wow. Now they're calling Trump's executive order, quote, a major victory. This is actually the real women's liberation movement, or certainly the 21st century application of that term. But this is what I love. I love this as a lawyer. I love constitutional-based arguments. They assert in the lawsuit that the law violates, I'm sorry, in their advocacy, there's not a lawsuit, but they're using constitutional lawsuit-based terms here. But they claim that this practice by Biden, which has become effectively law, violates incarcerated women's constitutional rights. How? I think this is so cool. They cite the Eighth Amendment, which protects people from cruel and unusual punishment. End quote. This is the application. It's cruel and unusual punishment to subject women in prison to being raped by male prisoners and abused in whatever way, shape, or form. It's certainly cruel, and it's definitely unusual because we haven't had queers like these were. The trannies are homosexuals molesting and impregnating women in federal prisons. It's a fabulous argument. Absolutely, just fabulous. My hat's off. I mean, I wouldn't have thought of that, or at least God didn't give it to me, but he gave it to the Women's Liberation Front, the acronym of which is WOLF, W-O-L-F. And just to put some closure on this piece, because I got to move on, Breitbart News came out with a story that indicated that nearly 50% of male inmates identifying as female have been convicted of a sexual offense. A sexual offense. And what are those sexual offenses? Rape. Some of other men. some of women, and some of children, compared to 11% of biological males who do not identify as female, of being among the inmates, 50% to 11%. Can you do the numbers? Can you do the math? Do you think the good news ends there? Oh, no. Hallelujah. Trump pulls Fauci security detail. This little twit now has to pay for his own armed guards. But he's got a lot of money because of all the money he made in the gain of function scheme that he managed, oversaw, and reaped whirlwind profits from. He can afford it. Get your own detail, right? Like Millie Vanilli, like General Milley, who I call Millie Vanilli. He only lip syncs a real general. He's not the real deal. Now, those of you who are listening that are under, let me see, maybe 50, 45 or so, probably would not know who Millie Vanilli was. But they made a lot of money and they never sang any of their own songs. Everything was lip synced. They were complete, total fraud, fake. And that's why I call Millie, General Millie, Millie Vanilli. He's a fraud. He's a fake. He's not a real general. I hope to see stars ripped off from his chest. The security detail is gone. Provide your own protection, Jack. And by the way, accept a lower governmental pension as a result of your demotion, which you so eminently deserve. You and a whole bunch that you're going to take with you. Well, I mentioned last week that, that last week I did not have time because it broke right as I was doing the program about Trump's pardons for over 20 pro-life activists. And this is huge. I don't have much more to add to the story other than it's just time to praise God for that. Righteousness has been restored. It's justice that's been restored. You know, the people that have been imprisoned for pro-life protesting or whether it's J6 stuff, at least the ones who really truly had a non-violent heart of love for the country, a love for the unborn in the case of the pro-life protesters, or activists. You know, I think of Joseph and all the time that he spent in prison in Egypt. And what had he done? What had he done? All he did was run away from Potiphar's wife, who tried to seduce him. So doing the righteous thing, the upright thing, he ends up in the slammer for a good period of time. And yet what the enemy designed for evil, as Joseph said himself there at the end of Genesis, God is used for good. And so all I can say to those who have been unjustly incarcerated, whether it's J6 or pro-life protesters and activists, what has happened, if you can be patient, maybe easy for me to say because I haven't had to go through it yet, is that God is going to work this thing not just for your good, but for the good that what you did produces. And I'm thinking of this woman last night. She works in a grocery store part-time. She was a J6, who never did anything violent. You saw the pictures of her video just walking through the congressional hall there, and one of the security guards giving her directions. And now she's on national TV. Now she could have a speaking tour if she wants and spread the truth. Don't go away. A lot more when we come back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
I was chasing sun on 101 somewhere around Ventura. I lost a universal joint and I had to use my finger. This tall lady stopped and asked if I had plans for dinner. Said, no thanks, ma'am. Back home, we like the girls that sing soprano. 'Cause where I come from, it's cornbread and chicken. Where I come from, a lot of front porch sitting. Where I come from, trying to make a living and working hard.
We are back. Love that Alan Jackson song. I thought, you know, after some tranny-related articles, that was the one to play for today. I really try to connect the music with the articles. And in case you missed it, he likes women that sing soprano. The guy was obviously a tranny. Whether he still sings that song, I don't know. Maybe he doesn't even tour anymore. I don't know. But, okay. So, you know, Trump is demanding a California maybe voter ID law be changed for wildfire relief, threatens FEMA with, you know, being put out of business, which probably is appropriate. But there's one thing I want to address on the FEMA thing. It's not a distinction from what Trump is advocating. But let me just say what he is advocating. And that is that basically FEMA be dismantled. And people, well, they're not going to get any support. Yeah, no, he says put the states in charge of disaster relief. But we will provide the assets, i.e. the money, to help with that. Now, whether that's, I think you can make a constitutional argument that the federal government has no business in bailing out states for natural disasters. You can make that argument. But I'm not going to go down that path. That's kind of a rabbit hole for purposes of this program. So the feds will end up sending them some money, because I'm telling you what Trump said he will do. Then the governor implements the programs and redressing addressing the issues and the damages and everything that needs to be done in light of what has happened. So with respect to the hurricanes, there would be money that would go to the various states that were impacted. But then those respective state governors are in charge of taking care of things and using the money wisely. Newsom, if California gets money, would be responsible for it to be applied correctly. Now, two things I just want to comment. I'm a federalist, and federalism means not that you're in favor of a big government, but it is this relationship between the federal government and the state governments, that the state governments have the opportunity to basically, and really the right, to run their own affairs. And federalism actually is a recognition by the federal government of the rights of the states. It's not what a lot of people think. Federalism, you know, the federal government runs everything. No, absolutely contrary. It's the federal government's recognition that there are many things that are off limits, hands off, belongs to the states. And the left hates this. Because let's say you're a leftist, and we know that all they really like is control. They lust for control. That's all Satan wanted of Jesus in the temptation in the wilderness three times. Control, control, control. Only three things I want. Control, control, and control. Because he wanted to be worshipped. And he screwed up big time, and he never will be. Doesn't get invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And any of those. No wonder he hates marriage. Because male-female marriage on this planet is a representation of the marriage supper of the Lamb. The bride of the bridegroom. as it says in Scripture. He's not part of that. So he hates anything that is a representation of what he screwed up and cannot enjoy as a fallen angel. All right, well, there's my little mini sermon on that one. But if you are the control freak that the Democrats are, the death cult that they are, how would you, which situation would you prefer? A federal government that runs and controls everything, or a federalist system where you've got 50 states that have an incredible amount of autonomy and authority? Obviously, the devil wants control of one government, a federal government, which he's increasingly had under Obama and Biden. Because then we just have to deal with one thing. We just got to get control of the federal government, control everything. The alternative for the Democrats are like, criminy. You mean we not only have to control the federal government, now we have to try to control 50 states? A gargantuan task. And this is the reason you have federalism, that it helps ensure, to the extent that anything can be ensured, that you do not have a system where one party can just simply grab, retain indefinitely for all eternity control over the entire country through one source of government. In this case, Washington, D.C. No, they've got to get after all of them, all of the states. It's a very, very difficult task. And I feel like God just gave me this. This is yet another proof that when it comes to the world of fascism, Trump is not the fascist, he's the anti-fascist, which I've known that, we've talked about it, but I'm just going to give you another example of why that's true, and that why the left are the real fascists. Because what is Trump attempting to do? Give control back to the states on this FEMA thing. Is that a fascist? To surrender control and implementation and the operation of these programs? Of course not. This is the most anti-fascist thing Trump could do as it relates to disaster aid. Well, I mean, and think about it. If the federal government controls directly all the federal aid, if you control the federal aid, you do control the states. It is a control issue. But there's one other thing. I've spent more time on this than I thought, but I'm kind of getting inspired as I speak. Sometimes that leads to a train wreck, but I don't think so today. If, in fact, the states are responsible for taking care of the damages that occurred in their state, in this case, as Trump has said, with some federal money attached, guess who is responsible for the screw-ups? You see, we can't really get at the federal government so easily. Yeah, we lambasted FEMA and all of that, but if Newsom screws up with the aid, Newsom's at fault. He is politically accountable. And knowing that he's going to be politically accountable, how much more likely is it that he is actually going to step away from the mirror for a few minutes and go do the job that the money is designed to accomplish and address those problems meaningfully? The same with the governors of North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida. One's got hit by the two hurricanes, lumping them together. What do they have to do? They have to use the money wisely, because now there's no finger pointing at Washington, D.C. They're out of it. It all comes home to roost in the local state, that particular state. You know, it's sort of like a educational issue. When you move the authority for educational issues to a more local situation. So it doesn't go, goes from feds to the state, states to the county, county to the individual school districts. Guess who ends up bearing the heat for the screw-ups? The immorality, the crime, the sexual harassment that comes about because you got tranny queers in girls' bathrooms. It's the local school board. Now they feel the heat. They can't say, we're just doing what Joe Biden made us do, even though Joe Biden didn't have the authority to do it. We're just doing what they told us to do, so we're not responsible. No, you are. You are responsible. So when there's that school board there and somebody has the guts to go up and say, look, you've got an immoral, ungodly policy here, because God himself says in Deuteronomy 22:5 that a man shall not wear clothing of a woman, and a woman shall not wear clothing that pertains to a man, for it's an abomination unto God. Throw them that. Now it's your decision, because Joe Biden is not making you do it. You're doing it of your own self. They are now politically responsible, and they are morally politically responsible to the people, morally responsible to God Almighty. Just the way it should be. Ah, I guess I was supposed to include that piece. So I want to get back to the briefly to the RFK Jr. thing. And then I'm afraid I'm going to have to touch on some not so great news. Do I try to fit that in, or I just exclude them? Because I'm not really into diversity, equity, and inclusion today. I don't have to keep out bad news, but I can keep out bad news because, well, it's my program. But RFK Jr. is clearly evidence of Trump derangement. I got to rephrase it. It's not RFK Jr. himself. It is the flack, the hysterics. What is it called? The histrionics? Is that the right word? I think it is. Over, by Democrats, over RFK Jr.'s possible secretarial position of the Department of Health and Human Services. That is evidence of the Trump derangement syndrome. It is unbelievable how, whether it's Bernie Sanders or what is this guy, Vernon, I can't even think of his name, from, I don't know, some East Coast state, some blue state. It's not, well, they're in such bad, what state is it? I can't think of it. It's not a blue state. Those states are tanking. I call them code blue states. But anyway, it's the left. It's the left on steroids that Donald Trump and RFK Jr. shook hands. Sort of like the problem the left is having with Barack Obama, because he actually had a really hearty chuckle that of something that Trump said to him at Carter's funeral. It wasn't a fake. He was genuinely laughing at something Trump said. It was like, how dare you associate with or laugh at anything Hitler says? Well, but RFK Jr. has shaken hands with DT. And to these Democrat senators, it's like he shook hands with Hitler, and that you're one of the brown shirts, you're one of the Nazis, if you have done that. The Trump derangement syndrome is not just in effect at campus levels, spreading to college students and even high schools. It's not just in Hollywood, which is horrid. It's not just in the media. It is actually at the highest levels of our government. Now, related to that, I really am thrilled that the JFK files are going to be released. And I touched on this, I think, last week, but I'm just going to make it really brief. And then along with the Martin Luther King files. And my concern is, what's next? And it's not a concern that it shouldn't happen. I'm concerned about the consequences of it actually happening. And that is the Epstein files, Pedo Island, Jeffrey Epstein. What's next? This is ultimately my concern for Donald Trump's safety, because if he has the authority to release that. And I don't know if he does or not. But if he has the authority to release the Epstein files in their totality, then we're going to probably find a whole bunch of Democrats and some Republicans and some foreign dignitaries that are pedophiles that enjoyed molesting minors of the same sex and the opposite sex. It's the end of the career of maybe hundreds of people. And the motivation for taking out Donald Trump may be the highest priority, the most motivated reason that exists, whether it's the left generally, whether it's the Iranians, whether it's Hamas, whether whoever it is, I think it's going to be those who would be exposed in the Jeffrey Epstein exposure. So anyway, there we are there. Now, I'm afraid I am going to have to cover a little bit of rough news here, but it's still the truth. And I'm going to start with Hollywood, because Hollywood, are they really reeling after Cammy's loss? So all these big stars, what do they call them? The A-listers? A stands for, I guess, the top of the list. But A can stand for some other words, too. Won't get into it, but have they really lost relevance? Is the industry going to repeat this resistance to Trump at every level possible? They seem to be. They haven't seemed. The answer partly is, I feel badly for you Californians who are paying taxes for the Democrat uniparty state legislature to subsidize the movie industry. Did you know that? Your tax dollars subsidize in a huge form the movie industries because the world of technology has certainly increased to the point where it is now possible to do your movies anywhere in the world. You see, Southern California, dry, low moisture, sunny, perfect for shooting movies. But you can do that stuff anywhere. My goodness, you can shoot them in Michigan's Upper Peninsula, which has three times the amount of cloudy days as sunny days. Lots of snow, fog. The technology allows movie companies, and particularly Christian startups and non-Christian startups who just don't want to be under Hollywood's control, to say, hey, take a hike check. We're going to go do our movies in Texas or North Dakota. Doesn't really matter. I mean, you're not going to do an Everglades scene in North Dakota, and you're not going to do a farmer's tilling his wheat in South Florida. I understand that. There are locations that are particular to the movie, but they're losing control. And it seems like people are certainly, and this last time, have listened less and less to them as to who to vote for. So if you look at Cammy and Joe's and Brock's kind of A-list supporters out there thinking that they have more influence in what they really do, well, why, who do you have? Well, you got Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift is, politically speaking, morally speaking, is horrid. I mean, I'll tell you, she's a witch from the ditch. Beyonce. Is that how you pronounce Beyonce? Yeah. George Clooney. Oprah Winfrey. Leonardo DiCaprio. Ben Stiller. Harrison Ford. Jennifer Lopez. Julia Roberts. You could just go down this line of A-listers, which I think they're A-listers because they make all the money, and most of the other people on the set are just a bunch of schmucks who still have to keep their day job. But I wish these hacks would follow up on their own campaign promises. Why don't these people, these individuals who demand that politicians keep campaign promises, keep their own campaign promises? And what do I mean by that? Well, if Trump is elected, my campaign promises is I'm going to move out of the country. But their sorry derrieres are still here. They're a pack of liars. Of course, they have no morals, so, we get that. We understand that. And just how much we don't want to take a clue from other countries. Barack Obama was famous on his apology tours, wanting to make country like Europe, or our country like Europe, which means a gradual slide into Sodom and Gomorrah and socialism. And this is why we need to stand alone. This is why America needs to be great again. Alexander de Tocqueville said when he came over in the 18th century from France, to understand why America's future was so bright, why the country was so prosperous, why the country already in its infancy showed signs of becoming the greatest country on earth. They were showing signs like Barron Trump at 18 years old. He's already doing real estate deals with some guys about building golf courses and resorts and other stuff. What does that tell you about what he's going to be? He's at 18. This is like, well, this is what America is in the 18th century. Boy, what's it going to become? And he made his very, very famous quote, and that is, America is great. You see, to him, it already is great because he could see what was happening. He said, America is great because America is good. America is great because America is good. And if America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. This is why Donald Trump has always been about making America great again. But he knows that America will not be great again unless America is good again. And so you see him revoking the DEI thing in the military and in federal positions and get the trannies out of the federal prisons and all of this stuff. Now, can you make America good again without a spiritual revival? I question that, but he's doing what he can. Trump does rallies. He doesn't do tent revival meetings. You leave that to his deputies, not paid, his unpaid volunteer deputies, like Lorenzo Sewell, the guy that did the benediction at the inauguration. These are the kind of guys that could usher in the revival in this country. But Trump is more like a Josiah. There wasn't a spiritual revival during Josiah's reign. But what Josiah did was root out every evidence and practice that he could that was idolatrous and evil and was from the pit of hell. So it takes what? Multiple parties. The president is not the pastor-in-chief. He's a commander-in-chief. The duties are constrained by the Constitution. Can they be a force for good? Without question. That's Trump's role. And now it's up to the evangelists, the Lorenzo Sewells of the country, to be a part of renewal, because we can't be and do what Obama and Biden seem to want us to do, and that is just be like all the other countries. Well, what are all the other countries doing? Well, with a few exceptions, a lot of them just plain suck. With a few exceptions like Hungary and Poland and a few of the Eastern Bloc countries, they're doing all they can to be morally relevant and good. And you got those that are just sliding into the trash heap of society like Ireland, or take the UK. The UK tax collectors. UK tax collectors are given the equivalent of one day off each week. Basically a 20% raise for doing nothing because they got the day off if they are involved in promoting LGBTQ, RSTUVWXYZ, plus AAII ideology. You see, Britain will never be great again if Britain is never good again. We have a chance Do they? Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. Not on the path that they're on. Because sadly for England, they really don't have a Donald Trump. They don't have a man who's so committed to doing what's right as best he can. And he doesn't do everything right, but he's committed to try to do everything right. And he's not afraid to say it. He's not afraid to do it. You know, it doesn't really matter what other people think. He's going to do it. They don't have that in Britain. They don't have that in France. They don't have that in Amsterdam and the Netherlands. They don't have that in Canada, that's for sure. But here, we were great because we were good. And now we have a chance to be great again if we become good again. Pray for this president. Pray for him every single day. God bless you all. Thanks for tuning in. Remember, right, sit tall in the saddle because you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. Well, God bless you and see you next week.